Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome again to Whiskey Congress. Whiskey Congress is back in session. I've been trying to mix up the intro. All right, so if you listen...
There's only so many ways you could say
that's true. That's true. So last week, we spoke both on our regular show and in the bonus episode about the fact that I lost a bet. We've acknowledged that. I have now made good on our bet. Mm-hmm. I bought Russell's Reserve Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey. It is 52%, so 104 proof. Now, I will say, it does not taste like 104 proof.
It is.
It is smooth as fucking silk.
Yes.
It's kind of, I won't say it's not a very complex flavor. No. I mean, it's really, it's straight rye. It tastes it. Now, it's a single barrel whiskey. I bought this because well, first of all, I got to tell you, I had the angel on one shoulder and devil on the other. Because the deal was a bottle between $50 and $75. The price point of this was right around $60. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything intriguing to me that was in the 70-75 range. So it's not because I'm cheap that I bought this. But part of me was like, you know what? If I buy a 175 of Fireball, that might be...
We wouldn't be recording right now.
The thought of what your reaction would be to that was very entertaining to me. But anyway, I bought this. They had a rye and a bourbon. The rye was only $55. I didn't want to get called cheap. The bourbon was only $55. The rye was $60. The bourbon was 55%, so maybe that's something for us to try on a different occasion.
We've tried the bourbon.
This was a single barrel.
Yeah,
this was a special reserve or something like that also. So yeah, this is a reserve single barrel. And I got to say, I like it a lot. It's smooth. It's got a nice flavor. You would never guess it's 104 proof. It's not amazing. I'm going to score it a 90. On the line of better than the rest of the field.
I'll give it a 91. I mean, there's so many different bourbons out there right now. Russell Reserve is made by Wild Turkey.
Okay.
I like the offerings from Russell Reserve from Wild Turkey via Russell Reserve. Okay. I don't know. Like, there's just a little bit more flavor than you get, even with some of the newer upper end Wild Turkey, whether it's the Long Branch. I still feel the Rare Breed is kind of the Wild Turkey signature. Other people will, argue on some of the others, but I like the Russell's Reserve 10. I like this Russell's Reserve, I'll score it a little bit higher at a 91. The flavor is not complex, but the flavor is good.
It's really good.
I mean,
this is rye, but...
Right. Rye. I mean, but bourbon and rye, you have your wood, you have your vanilla, you have your hint of a little hint of fruit usually. And this checks all those boxes. It's strong. You know, I mean, it'll get you where you need to go.
There's no burn.
Actually, I
don't want to go this from... Get you where you need to go to fucking dangerous.
Because yes.
I could down this shit
right. And not I think, realize that's what I was doing. I think you need the upper score. Come with me.
All right, fine. I'll join you at 91. I've been coaxed up. How much I love Booker's, and I absolutely do. But Booker's has that burn. Now, granted, it's like 130 proof.
Yes.
But it has that burn that lets you know, hey, you're playing with fire here.
Yes.
This literally, if you were served this at a bar, didn't know how strong it was, and just felt like mowing it down.
Yep.
You would suddenly find out that you were playing with fire.
Right.
All right, so the bet has been paid. You were right, I was wrong, and we're moving on.
Okay.
Are you satisfied with
good.
The...
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's good.
I'm
taking it with me.
No, you're not. It was for the show.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, hold on. This is bullshit. I won't drink it outside of the show. I can make that deal.
Okay.
It was for unless that's a future standard.
You lost the bet.
I lost the bet, but it was a show bet.
Okay. All right. Fine.
I think that's fair, but I will not consume this with anyone other than you or on the show with you.
Fine.
Anyway,
I'm gonna mark it.
I'm gonna have scores
every
on a bottle.
Every time we leave, I'm gonna mark it.
My my liquor cabinet is going to have marked bottles. I'm 48 years old, and I've got to wear. I got to replace it with water, so Steve doesn't know I drank some. Fucking hey. So the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing has been dominating the news.
It has been, and for good reason. I'm going to jump in here and go in here. One thing that bothers me, and listen, I'm not special for this, but child sex offenders bother me to no end. Like it
way eats, to take a stand.
It eats at my right. No, like no, this doesn't make me special. It doesn't right. make. But it just it's the one thing that as you know studying to be a lawyer, you know, working at sure. the public defender's office, those were cases where you know if I actually never had to defend a child abuser
alleged
child abuser sex offender. I never had to do that. It just never came across my desk. And I can't tell you what I would do in those situations. I don't know if I would ask myself to be recused. I don't know what I would do in those situations because of it. Just it's pure emotion that I can't sure. tamp down. And so this issue with Jeffrey Epstein, this guy is a monster, right? I mean, I want to be fair. I don't.
To a degree. Okay. Him. Okay.
I think that, you know, the history of Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, it's been all over the news, but the guy started off on Wall Street, you know, investing, you know, doing the whole thing with finance, makes it big, and then goes on, opens his own private firm. What they do, that's, you know, there's a lot of questions around how he makes his money. You know, he's got this offshore investment firm, hedge fund type deal that is, you know, they don't, like, they put out no public records and there's no one has
right.
any idea
it's offshore, how much it's offshore, worth. So you can't, right.
And so, but we know he's got boatloads of cash, right?
Right. I mean, he's a $77 million mansion in Manhattan.
Right.
Which, by the way, his lawyers recommended as the place he stay while awaiting trial.
Right. I mean, and then he's got a place down in Palm Beach. He's got right. places in Paris and Mexico and all these other, you know.
Sure.
So he goes into, you know, he opens his own private firm and then kind of bursts onto the scene between New York and Florida, kind of as this, you know, millionaire, billionaire, playboy, rubbing elbows with the, you know, New York and East Coast elite. With connections to Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, you know, the Saudi royal family, and others. So, in the late 90s, early 2000s, people start to ask questions about some of the, like, what is going on with him because he's constantly being seen just surrounded by young girls and not just, you know, young 20-something girls, but girls that look quite, you know, beyond
right.
younger than 18.
I mean,
it starts to raise a lot of questions. And so people in the media, whether, I mean, I read that there was a journalist for Vanity Fair who, you know, basically followed him around for 5 years trying to figure out where his money came from, who these girls were, and she couldn't get anywhere. He used his influence to get Vanity Fair to get her to back off to the point where he even put pressure on her husband to put pressure on her to not go forward with the article, and it never ran.
Right.
Then in 2008, Palm Beach or the local police in Palm Beach are able to start to put together a case against him, but the police felt like the state was giving them pushback. And so the police hand the case over to the FBI, right? So the FBI comes in and they put together this 53-page indictment, right? That is, you know, it focuses on, you know, trafficking and prostitution and child prostitution, sex trafficking, the whole thing. And you have this guy, Alexander Acosta, who is the federal prosecutor down in Florida at the time. Now, he was a relatively young guy. He was the age that I am now, 38 years old. So relatively new to the, you know, to the system.
Sure.
Had previously worked at a big firm, Kirkland & Ellis. Acosta's Jeffrey Epstein's defense attorneys, they had connections to Kirkland and Ellis, so I have questions right off the bat. Should Acosta have recused himself from the situation in the first place because of his relationship with defense counsel?
Sure.
There's arguments on both sides of that, so it's not a main focal point, but Acosta looks at this whole situation and somehow ends up giving Epstein, you know, he's got plenty of ammunition, seemingly, to put this guy away for a very long time, and ends up having this kind of off-the-books meeting with Epstein's lawyers, and ends up coming out with this non-prosecution plea agreement where Epstein has to register as a sex offender. He does 13 months. He's supposed to do 18 months in county lockup.
Okay.
But ends up doing 13 months on a work release, meaning that he can go home to his Palm Beach mansion during the day and work, air quotes, and then where he's accompanied by, you know, the sheriff or whatever, and then he goes back at night. And he did that for 13 months. Now, the other part about this plea agreement that really just sets my whole body on fire is that the victims were not made aware of this plea agreement. And that is a violation of federal law. By law, plea agreements, the victims need to be made aware so that at minimum
they can appear at the sentencing and say and give a victim statement, right?
Right, a victim impact statement. And they were not made aware. They did not know until, you know, months after this thing goes through. And Epstein basically walks, right? Yes, he has to register as a sex offender. Yes, he got 13 months. He had to pay restitution, but they didn't say who he paid restitution to. There's only estimates on the amounts. So a lot of it was sealed and closed, so there's only so much that we know about what happened in this particular situation. And the guy is, if you're looking at it from his standpoint, you're facing possibly life to 13 months on a work release.
Right.
So, you know, and there's so many issues with that, right? I mean, like, so he's in county, which is, I mean, it's Palm Beach. It's not exactly Rikers.
Right.
He leaves in the morning. You know, he probably eats all his meals at home, has a chef make it, or you know, calls his favorite restaurants. Right. They bring him food. You know, he has this experience. Now, there's questions about what he does for work. So you feel like he's spending his entire time during the day calling people, letting them know, like, listen, we're fine. I'm going to go through this for a year. Your money's good. This is how we'll do this. This is how, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I feel
Well, you're speculating. He might not have been working that hard.
Well, exactly. Right? I mean, who knows what he was doing during this time, but I mean, you can.
But the fact is, he was going to and from county jail.
Right. He's basically spending night in jail.
Right.
He's spending his nights in jail.
I was listening to the Young Turks, and they were saying he basically treated the county jail like a hotel. That's a little bit of spin on their part, in my opinion. But still, he was not in jail. He was sleeping.
I mean, it's not spin. I mean, that's what was happening. I mean, the only thing he was doing was sleeping there.
Okay. I guess I'm calling it spin because they make it sound like he was at the, you know, Ritz-Carlton.
Right.
That was not. But again, fuck the guy. I'm not defending him.
I mean, the guy's spending his whole day in a mansion in Palm Beach. Right. I mean, he might as well. I mean, it's probably better than Ritz-Carlton. So, you know, fast forward, the guy, you know, he gets off. I think
this is 2008.
This is 2008, right?
Yep.
Now, there's speculation that he was a witness that helped to bring down Bear Stearns with all their shady dealings. You have to remember 2008, our economy is going to shit. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, people wanted blood from the banks for what was going on.
For good reason.
For good reason, absolutely. And there is documentation that we don't know to what effect, but he had some part of that with Bear Stearns. And Bear Stearns was one of the only firms to really feel the brunt of what happened,
right?
In 2008 with the financial collapse. And so people are speculating that, well, is that what he contributed to that situation, was that enough to let this guy off for raping children?
Wow, that's one of the ugliest plea agreements ever.
Right. I mean,
we don't really know, like, to what degree he
we don't
it, right?
we don't
all sealed,
we have
all
no we have no idea what but, he what he said what he gave them.
Oh man!
Now there's another side of this where Acosta was asked during, you know, his confirmation hearings for his position as Secretary of Labor about this, right? Now, and this is you know, secondhand in a report that I read, but he was asked about this Epstein case, right? And according to the person, his response was, look, I was told to leave him alone because he belonged to intelligence. So I said, okay, we made the deal. That was that. Right? Now, if we're to believe that, who? Right? Now, at the time, Robert Mueller is your head of the FBI. Mike.
Wow, all the...
yes, Mike... Pompeo? Mike, no. Michael Marchese? I forget whoever the attorney general was for George Bush for 43 was that's who your attorney general was. So I, in my opinion, I feel that, you know, Mueller needs to be brought in. The attorney general at the time needs to be brought in, and we need to figure out why the fuck this guy just got to walk when it seemed like a 53-page indictment from the federal government, from the Department of Justice, that you go to jail. You don't plea your way out of that. Okay. You go to jail, and you go to big boy jail, not county lockup jail where you get to go home and hang out and fucking jerk your pud, you know, to whatever weird shit you have at home. Like, that's not how that fucking works. So I have a lot of questions for everybody. And listen, my thing is, I don't care. Go scorched earth. You know, I mean, anyone who was affiliated with this guy, who knew what he was doing, who was partaking in what he's alleged to have been, what he was alleged to be doing, take him down. I don't care. Bill Clinton, burn him. You know, Trump, burn him. I don't care. I don't care. My own, I know my dad nowhere near this, but I mean, if it was my dad, fuck it, burn him. Right? Like, that's how strongly I feel about it. Anybody who was associated with this, not associated, but directly.
Anyone who knew this was going directly on, directly
involved.
Nothing.
With what he was doing, right, in some way, shape, or form, with these young girls, and there's so many victims. They had, back in 2008, I think they had at least 20 to 30 girls who were willing to come forward and say, this man raped me, right? I mean, and then when he didn't get punished, right, then, I mean, they were all terrified.
Sure.
Right? So you fast forward to, you know, the last couple weeks. You know, you get a legit federal indictment, and, you know, all the questions start coming up about what the hell happened. Acosta comes out at first and gives this really shitty explanation, like, oh, well, there's new evidence. Like, fuck you, you had a 53 fucking page indictment, right? I mean, you had multiple witnesses that were willing to come forward. Like, the idea that they didn't have enough to put this guy away back in 2008, I don't buy.
I'm asking this out of ignorance and for hopefully for our audience, if they're in the same boat as me, that when you say a 53-page indictment, like, what is standard? What is...
That's a good question. That's a good question. But typically, like, with the federal indictment... Now, listen, a 53-page indictment, in this grand scheme of things, I mean, with some of the RICO cases that have been out there, I mean, there are indictments with hundreds of pages, hundreds of pages.
Okay.
Right? But for one particular person... there's enough in there that and page count doesn't necessarily mean anything, but think about it. That's a lot of information.
Yeah. I mean, right. That's why I asked because how much of it is cover page. You know, Palm Beach County, Florida is now a page, and I've written documents that are 50 pages that are chock full of stuff, and I've written 50 page documents that are 5 pages of real shit.
But typically, with an indictment from the federal government, which I've seen enough of, there's going to be plenty in there to hang a guy like this.
Okay.
And the fact is, Acosta didn't even try.
Right.
Right. Do I blame Acosta completely? At first I did, and then I had to sit back and kind of, you know, look at big picture and realize, like, listen, these guys, he doesn't work in a vacuum. He didn't make this decision unilaterally. There are a lot of people who had to sign off on this before he could do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no way he hadn't been at the DOJ long enough to have the authority to do something like this unilaterally. So there are multiple people who had to sign off on this, and that's who we really need to be mad at, right? Acosta is he's a pawn in all this.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a low-level guy. And at this point in time, you know, he came out, I think, what, today, and resigned.
Right.
And I firmly believe he's a patsy. I think he was all set to stay, weather the storm, and I think someone on high, whoever, and I'm not saying Trump, right. To be clear.
Trump wanted him to stay on.
Right. I think Trump wanted him to stay on because Trump just likes to fight. But I don't think it's Trump who is making him step down. I don't think Trump, you know, Trump has a relationship with Epstein. But as Trump tells it, like, you know, he hadn't talked to the guy in 15 years. He had cut him off. And I honestly, I believe him. This is fucking complicated. Okay.
Yep.
Because there's a woman who accused Trump of raping her at an Epstein party. She was a young girl. She was, I think, maybe 13, 14, 15 years old at the time. And she says that Trump forcibly raped her at an Epstein party. And I think that, and everyone...
I don't know that story.
Everyone that's defending Trump in that situation is saying she brought it up during, you know, in 2016, and then she recanted, so it can't be true.
Right.
Which we all know that that's not how these things work. Just because she recanted doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Not true. It's hard. I mean, it's been so long, it would be really hard to prove. So there are some questions there that I think are worth kind of going back and looking at. But at the same time, Trump says, listen, I cut this guy off back in 1996 or whenever he did it. Or 98 or 2005. I don't know. Whenever it was. And he said he banned him from his club. So I think he banned him from Mar-a-Lago. So I think what happened is Trump realized this guy wasn't right.
Well, just go back. I mean, so Trump did come out and say years ago, like, you know, this guy's like me. He loves beautiful women almost as much as I do. He likes them really young.
Right.
But, I mean, Trump likes them young. Melania is young next to Trump. And this is from I'm saying this from a guy who I've dated women.
Stormy Daniels and the porn stars, right. All that. And, I mean, he likes some
young. I dated a girl 12 years younger than me when I was in my lower 30s, or sorry, upper 30s, lower 40s.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, but I think whatever. Trump likes his, I mean, I yeah. think Trump likes his girls legal. Young
and,
but legal.
I heard this one girl who was 14 at the time of the alleged incident describe her interactions with Epstein, and it's
disgusting.
Oh my god! Like literally, some older woman comes up to this girl at her high school. She's a freshman in high school, and says, "Hey, I want you to meet this rich friend of mine."
Yes.
And then she goes back there, and he wants to massage him, and then jerks and off in front of her.
That's the other part about this. Like the women, the recruiters. You know, a part of that plea agreement was that no one that had connections with Epstein who could be considered co-conspirators or anything like that, they all got non-prosecution, like they all basically got immunity.
Wow.
I mean, and then a journalist was able to track down three of the four women that were his main recruiters in the early 2000s. One is a pilot. Right, she's a commercial pilot. She trains people on how to fly, and she, you know, flies Gulfstreams and you know is all about, you know, does a lot of lifestyle stuff on Instagram. Another is married to a NASCAR driver.
Wow.
And another, I forget what happened with the. There's one that they couldn't find, and then there was another one who I think has a modeling agency or something like that. But what's interesting is all their businesses. Right, the pilot training thing, the design firm, all their businesses tie back to a building that Epstein owns.
Okay, I'm staying open minded, veil up, just for the sake of
staying open minded about what?
He's not been convicted yet. I'm gonna leave that caveat out there.
You can.
You're not, and I'm cool with that too. But this has the potential to be one of those tip of the iceberg, a whole bunch of shit goes down from it moments.
I do too, but I think you're right.
And I don't mean that to sound salacious or to sound opportunistic, but this could be the sort of thing where you see the underbelly of that part of our culture. And now I'm including Bill Clinton. I'm including Donald Trump. I'm including lots of rich dudes that I've never heard of.
To put it, I think that this guy has a black book filled with names, dates, probably pictures, that's probably in a safe somewhere, pretty close to that offshore account and bank. And,
I mean, if it appears he played that card once already, right? It appears in 2008 that he was facing 30 to life in prison and should have fucking gone and said...
And shut it down.
And shut it down because, like, look, I can give you Bear Stearns. I can give you the shenanigans on Wall Street. I'll give you the inside story.
And you got to wonder if
that's possible.
Yeah,
I mean, speculation, but very.
I think it goes even further.
I mean, I've talked about killed JFK on this show. I can talk. Yeah,
I mean, I think he honestly pulled a card and said, "I can, you know, I'll burn the administration down." Right. I mean, and Bush was the one in the office at the time.
What's funny is Fox News said this was an Obama thing because Obama was elected in 2008.
Okay.
And well, I was okay, but he didn't take off to 2009. Right. I mean, so thanks for playing Sean Hannity and kiss my ass.
But this is, I mean, I think there's a lot of tentacles and we don't know where it's going to end up.
Right.
Now, the other part of it is this guy's black book is so extensive that there's enough people who would be willing to make this go away.
So you're saying if Jeffrey Epstein ends up
committing suicide?
If he should hang himself in his jail cell or if he should get struck by lightning, I'm going to... I mean,
yes.
If you don't get the Godfather reference, that's
yes.
You did, but some people.
I think it could be that or this. I mean, it would be hard. Listen, I don't know. They can't. They're not going to be able to make. There's no way that he's going to get off with another ridiculous plea agreement.
Right.
Right. So he.
Oh, one thing that we didn't say, though. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this now is a federal indictment, well, I guess they both were, but this one also involves issues that happened in New York. So there's no mm-hmm. double jeopardy bullshit.
Right.
There's no way he can spit the hook saying, I've already settled this. There are new allegations, new people. So maybe some of the old stuff doesn't technically get brought to justice, but he does not have that out.
Right. Which I don't think there's an out for him legally. I don't think there's a card he can pull that can save him from... trial or a plea agreement that says you're going to jail for 25 years because he's 60 years old. So, you know, 25 years
is a
essentially
life
a life sentence. But
well, no, not I'm 12. I mean, I'm half.
Yeah, true.
Then.
But I mean, I just I don't see a legal way out. I don't see him. He's going to spend an extended period of time in jail unless
he's going to plead not guilty. Right.
Right. I mean, he already did.
He already did. Okay. And there will be a trial.
And I think more charges are coming.
Okay.
I think more charges are coming. So I think from a legal standpoint, he should be cooked. The question is, how extensive is his black book? And yeah, it sounds sort of conspiracy theorist paranoid, but if this guy dies in jail, whether it's suicide, slip and fall, gang rape, whatever, I could easily see that happening. It wouldn't be a surprise.
Right.
And I mean,
when Ariel Castro hanged himself in prison, I just always assumed he was assisted.
Right.
If you don't know who Ariel Castro is, he's a scumbag who raped three girls over
kidnapped, raped,
and impregnated multiple girls over years. And before he got anywhere near his trial, he hanged himself in prison. And I kind of went, you know what? Not shedding a tear for this guy.
Right. I'm not upset about it. Right. I also don't believe he did it.
Right. And that called me a hypocrite for saying, you know, here I am saying, give them their day in court. I believe that. On a fundamental level, but when you got a guy like Ariel Castro or apparently Jeffrey Epstein,
Kelly.
I will not put R. Kelly in the same.
You better.
All right.
Like he was locked. He locked girls. Come on.
I'm sorry. I was trying not to do it. And I'm like, going,
how I feel about R. Kelly.
I do know how you feel about R. Kelly. All right. Real quick, though, we've been going on this for a while. In terms of Acosta stepping down, I think he did it because he knew this was going to be a huge distraction and make his job undoable. And I don't have a problem with him for doing it. I don't have a problem with him doing it. I think it actually was the responsible, professional thing to do, whether or not he's completely responsible for this deal or not.
I think he was made to step down, and it wasn't by Trump.
Okay.
I think the people who signed off on the deal back in 2008
said, step down. Because they want less of a spotlight on this?
Yes.
We
can't have people digging into you and this, and we don't need you in front of Congress. Step down.
Today. That's kind of conspiracy theorist, but it's also logical and interesting. And
right.
I had not thought of that angle, to be honest with you. I thought he was just like, I don't need this. No one needs this. And he gave his resignation speech and with Trump standing beside him.
I guarantee it was, you resign or Trump will fire you. And I bet his response was, well, Trump's the president. And whoever the person on the other end of that line said, I don't give a fuck. I'll burn that motherfucker too.
Okay.
You're stepping down. And by stepping down, you can go back into private practice. You can explain this away. Right. You can go work for Fox. I don't care what you do, but you're not going to be in a position where you can be pulled in front of Congress or the Senate or whatever, which they still technically
could. Yeah, they still could do that.
But, I mean, he, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he, you know, ends up somewhere with a non-extradition treaty. You know?
Well,
I mean, I just...
Truthfully, right now, Alex Acosta can go anywhere, right? He's not under...
I promise you he'll disappear. And I don't mean someone's going to make him disappear. I mean, he's going to slide under. He's going to go way away. And no, like, I don't think he's going to be making public appearances. I don't think he's going to be on Fox.
So you and I have been fairly critical of both right and left-wing media. I think you probably pick on left-wing media more than I do, but I'm not afraid to drop the gloves. In fact, last week I pounded on CNN pretty hard for turning into a late-night network talk show.
CNN is trash.
Okay. But you're right. Once he disappears from the public spotlight, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, neither you or I or the media will give a fuck about Alex Acosta.
You're right.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the only thing is people might confuse him with Jim Acosta from CNN.
Right.
You know? I mean, I didn't mean him. I mean, like, why am I saying Alex Acosta? I don't know.
Okay.
Jim Acosta. But that's my thoughts on it.
All right. Well, I mean, interesting. There was things that came up there that I hadn't thought of. That's why I like to do these shows live and organic. You put in our, we use Slack. Slack's a publicly traded company right now, so we should throw them a bone, see if they want to endorse us.
They do not.
They might. You never know. Know until you try. But you put in Slack, quote, blame Bill Clinton for Trump being president. Go.
All right. So, you know, there's a new book coming out. And shit, I forgot the title of the book, so that sucks. But there's a new book coming out. Now, it's a book that's going to, that doesn't really put Trump in the best light. And he's got some people.
Is it the Michael Wolff book or?
No, okay. Not Michael Wolff.
Michael Wolff has a new book coming out also, is why I'm asking. By the way, I love when the whiskey sound opens.
That whiskey cork?
The whiskey cork, yep.
But there's a new book coming out that, you know, it talks about Donald Trump and his election and kind of just how crazy things are right now.
All right.
You know, while I'm talking about this, maybe you can look it up.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, Paul Ryan, you know, lends his name to some quotes in this book, and other people, Republicans, also kind of give their opinions and are quoted in this book and on the record, just kind of talking about the craziness and the chaos that is the Donald Trump administration. And now, if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to come out, you're going to bash the book, and you're going to say it's all fake news, and yeah, we get it. We get the whole thing. I think people on the left are going to come out and say, see, look, I told you we were right all along. Always the truth is somewhere in the middle. But I think there's something that comes out in this book and that was talked about, and it's going back to the election cycle back in 2016 when, you know, that tape came out with Trump talking about, you know, grabbing the pussy and moving on bitches and his whole just kind of creepy chauvinistic manhandling of women, right? Like, you can't, like, if you're a Trump supporter, I'm sorry, you can't get away from that. I don't care. It just, you can't, right? Like, he said it.
You shouldn't.
He said it on a mic. There's you can't spin it to say, oh, he was just, you know, whatever. It was a hot mic. He didn't know it was on. It was him in a moment, just being himself. And that caused a lot of turmoil. That should have buried him, right? It should have buried him. And so the way it all played out was, I mean, there was about a 36-hour period where everyone thought that Trump was done. Everyone. Like, Trump thought he was done. The tape comes out, Rance Priebus and Steve Bannon and everybody thought he was done. Now, Steve Bannon will tell you he never thought he was done and that he knew that Trump was going to be the champion. This book disputes that. Everybody at that point in time thought that Trump was done. And even Mike Pence and his family said, you know, we can't, you know, Mike Pence's wife comes out and basically says, I don't want you with that man. And if you're going to be with that man, that man being Donald Trump, then I'm not going to be with you in public. And, you know, Pence was, like, there were multiple reports that after that came out that Pence was out as vice president.
American Carnage?
Yes. Who's the author?
Sorry.
But, you know, there were a lot of reports that, you know, Pence was done. He couldn't be the vice president. You know, Pence is a very religious guy. He's the guy who, you know, we'll talk about the Billy Graham rule coming up here in a little bit, but Pence won't be alone with a woman. And then all of a sudden you've got this guy that you're supposed to be running with talking about he grabs women by the pussy and he just moves on them and he doesn't care. And it was more than Pence could take. And so you have this moment in time where it seems like that is the nail in the coffin of Trump and this whole campaign of, you know, building a jet while you're flying it, is about to come crashing down.
The author is Tim Alberta, by the way.
Tim Alberta, yes. So you have this whole moment where it's all about to, you know, just crash and burn, and that's it for Trump. Where Rance Priebus, who was the head of the RNC at the time, you know, basically told Trump, like, listen, you need to get out, you need to move out of the way so we can bring someone else in who can win this thing, because if you don't, you're going to lose this election by a landslide,
right?
Period. Right? And Trump, and the way it's described in the book, is that everyone was completely just open mouth, couldn't believe that Rance Priebus, if you've ever seen him, like, this little shit just said that to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump had to take it because he knew, everyone in the room knew he was right at the time. Right, everyone knew it, and they said, "Fuck," right? And Trump tried to make light of it. Like, all right, like, so, okay, well,
it's locker room talk,
right? Like, well, no, he was just like, "All right, so, is there any good news?" Right, like, and it's like they're like, "No, there's no good news. Like, you're done." And so, at the end of that week, they had the debates in St. Louis, and this is why I say blame Bill Clinton for Donald Trump as your president. Because we never held Bill Clinton accountable for his bad behavior with women, right? Yeah, rumors, speculation, allegedly, supposedly, the whole thing with Monica, blah, 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 blah. We never held Bill Clinton accountable for his behavior with women. And now his name is coming up with Jeffrey Epstein, taking multiple flights, hanging out with him. Like, listen, they called Jeffrey Epstein's jet the Lolita Express, right?
Okay.
Do you know the references with Lolita? It's a story about.
Honestly, I don't. I know that term gets used, but I.
Okay, it's a story about a relationship with an older man and an underage girl.
Oh, okay.
And so they call it the Lolita Express, and Bill Clinton made, you know, multiple trips on the jet with Jeffrey Epstein, and there's young girls on the flight manifest with them.
Okay.
He made some of the trips with his. Secret Service security detail. He made other trips without it. But because we never held Bill Clinton accountable for just, you know, countless accusations, right?
Let me say this. The Lewinsky thing I put as outside of this. Like,
it is outside.
We know what happened. It was Paula Jones. It was Jennifer Flowers. It was women that made accusations that people, including myself, kind of said, look, it's a baseless allegation. It's him against her. I mean,
they're piling on the whole thing. We constantly made excuses for Bill Clinton. Including Hillary.
Yes.
Right?
Including Hillary. Most of all Hillary.
Okay.
Right?
So now Trump is facing Hillary in a campaign, in an election. He's about to face her on a debate. And he himself has his issues with women. He's about to go down in flames. And what does he do?
He brings a bunch of women that accused Bill Clinton of inappropriate behavior
to the debate. He sits them right in front of that debate.
Yes, he did.
He sits them right in front. So now, what he's done, now listen, it's fucking masterful what he did. Because now he's like, look, yeah, I'm dirty.
I'm a scumbag.
Yeah, I like to finger bang your wife if she's hot enough and she comes close enough. But look, you let this guy run the country for 8 years. He's got this foundation. Him and his wife do all these sort of things. His wife bullied this woman.
By the way, this foundation is now funding the DNC.
Right. His foundation, yes, it's funding the DNC. His wife is running for. She bullied these women. What did she? She accused these women of being, you know, attention grabbers and gold diggers and everything and everything else. She blamed all the victims. They're right here. So if you're not going to hold him accountable, why the hell am I getting the smoke right now?
Wow.
And he gave that gave that gave Trump supporters, the people who had to, who were going to say, fuck it, I guess I got to vote for Hillary, he gave them an out, and they all took it. And it's all our fault, all of us who never held Bill Clinton accountable for all the bullshit that he got away with, right? And listen, alleged, whatever,
sure.
But we never pushed the envelope on it. Right, the whole thing. I mean, we defended.
Well, it all became the Lewinsky thing, and the Lewinsky thing was right. Consensual adults and yes, a blowjob exactly. And whatever.
I fully agree, but we were able to kind of package. We packaged that all together and gave him a giant
a cum stain on a blue dress right. was the most damning thing we held him accountable for, and there may have been a whole fuck of a lot more. And
right,
you're right. And I'm part of that. I'm part of that hypocrisy.
Right. And so that moment, right? Because if you hold Bill Clinton accountable before that,
right?
Before that moment, and you make him face those women, right? And it's done, then all of a sudden maybe those women are just like, listen, what's done is done. Like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. We've got our pound of flesh, whatever. Maybe at that point, Hillary has detached herself from Bill. Right. Or in divorce them right. And just said, right. Or but I mean, maybe she does. Right. Like maybe if he ends up having to pay money to a woman, loses a civil suit or, you know, I mean, even, you know, because I think some of the allegations were.
I think he did pay money to several women, actually.
Right. But I mean, but in a more public fashion.
Right. Oh, right? It was definitely not public.
So but if he is held accountable in just kind of a public shaming way. And Hillary has to detach herself from Bill Clinton. Like, listen, if I'm going to be president, then I have to move away from you. You have to go away. We have to get a divorce.
Wow.
Then that's not a tool. Maybe that's not a weapon for Donald Trump to use. And then he's not here. But we never did it. And because Hillary Clinton was still attached to Bill Clinton at that moment, she had a weakness. And her weakness was always going to be Bill's bullshit. And it was. And that was the nail in her coffin when it should have buried Trump.
Very well said, very well thought out. I would not have put that together on my own. I'm going to do something that drives you fucking nuts, but I do this shit. What you just described to me sounds exactly like Godfather Part 2. You bring the brother from the guy over from Italy. Steve has now taken off his headphones and is about to lose his shit. Oh, okay. This man does not speak English. He came here... He said, Michael Corleone did this, Michael. I said, yeah. All right. I'll just bury the movie reference, but it's not a bad one.
That's your second Godfather reference of the day. And I walk in, you're watching Goodfellas. I mean, you're just chilling.
I made pasta matriciana for dinner. Maybe that influenced things. Who knows?
Did you really?
I did. It was fantastic.
Is there any left?
No.
Fuck. That's a dick Sorry. Move by you.
It was. I actually washed the plate before you got here so you wouldn't see what I had made. Because I've made that before and you've had it.
It's good.
All right. So anyway, very, very well said and interesting. I don't know that I've heard anyone else put those pieces together. This is always this is a butterfly effect thing, right?
Yep.
Back when this was happening and people like me were, you know, kissing Bill Clinton's ass, these things have consequences. Things roll down the road. I mean, I still blame George W. Bush for a lot of the shit going on through Obama's administration and through now in the Middle East because of the way we handled things post 9/11. And I think I'm 100% right. I don't want to go down that path. But, you know, that's 10, 12, 15 years ago. People forget it. Well, people may forget it, but those things play. In a historical picture, it's a small piece, right? 15 years is nothing in terms of history.
Right. It's you know... Movie Deadpool, right? What does Colossus say to Deadpool, right? Like three or four moments that change
to be a hero.
To be a hero, right? Or that change the history or change the course of history.
And then Deadpool shoots the bad guy in the face.
Exactly. But I mean this is one of those times. So
yeah, you're right.
You know, that's my little rant. I had to get it out. Okay. No,
well done. You also sent me a story about ICE.
Yes.
And
so ICE is going to be doing some, allegedly ICE is going to be doing some roundups of some illegal immigrants, probably starting on Sunday. They were supposed to do this before the fork, you know, a couple weeks ago. It got postponed. You know, a lot of people have some trepidation about this, which, I mean, listen, if they're going to go in, you know, Gestapo style and just start ripping people out of homes, it's not going to be pretty. Right. It's not going to be pretty, but I mean, you know, Trump is doing this for a reason, right? And there's an initially my thought was, why would he tell people? Just go do it so you can catch people off guard.
Right.
But Trump is using this as, listen, Democrats, you need to come to the table. If we're going to figure out this immigration thing, you need to come to the table. Now, once they get to the table, are they, they're nowhere near, right? I mean, you've got most of your Democrats are just like, we don't need a wall. We don't really need to stop immigrants from coming in. We just kind of need to let them come in and then we'll take care of them and it'll be fine. And then you have conservatives on the other side in the GOP saying, we need to build a wall and, you know, we need to, you know, shoot them if they try to come across, right? Like you have right. these two way far apart sure. people, right? I mean, and a little bit of hyperbole on both ends there, but they're just miles apart. And so they do need to come together. They need to form a solution. It's frustrating to listen to Democrats talk about how bad the conditions are, how, you know, inhumane this whole situation is, but yet I don't hear a single Democrat putting up any policy solutions to this whatsoever. Nothing. Right. Right, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will tell you that the people are drinking out of toilets and that, you know, I mean, it's just the worst thing she's ever seen. And she's got photo ops where she's crying and you know, at the border and she's just so distraught. Okay, what then how do we fix it? Right? I mean, there's got to be a solution than just let everybody in. And it, like, because here's the deal. I can't get into Canada. I can't just walk into Canada. Right, like, true. You got to show them a passport. You got to, like, you can't just walk in, right? Like, nobody from the fucking south side of Chicago can go to Canada and just be like, hey, it's a fucking war zone. Can I come to Canada? Like, the fucking true. People all at the right. Canadian border would fucking laugh their ass off. Right? I mean, listen, I believe that there's there's so many legislative, diplomatic options to help kind of fix this as a whole. Right, I mean, thinking about it as, you know, you have to take the emotion out of it, right? You have to take the emotion out of it, understanding that, yes, it's a horrific situation, but if you're going to fix it, you can't fix it emotionally. Emotions don't work. Everyone's using emotion right now. Sure. Conservatives are using emotion because they don't want the brown people to come over with all their diseases and rapiness and murdering, drug-dealing MS-13. They don't want any of that, right? And just immigrants bring drugs and violence and gangs, and that's just the end of it. Right, and then conservatives on the other hand, it's all women and children.
Democrats on the other hand,
right? Like, it's all women and children. We're murdering women and children and keeping them in concentration camps. That's all emotion, right? The truth is always somewhere in the fucking middle. And the solution to this is, listen, we got to get non-government entities and non-profits and even some government down into these places where these people are coming from and start diverting them one to other places, right? And getting at the source and saying, listen, you can't go to the United States, but we've made some connections with some people in, I don't know, fucking Switzerland or wherever. No, I mean, I'm just saying, yeah, just in another country, in Canada, wherever.
Europe is so fucked up right now because of Middle Eastern people fleeing war zones.
We can get you to other places, right? Like, you can't go to America here. Maybe you can there. Then you also have people down there looking at what the source of the problem is. It's drug cartels. Right? Like, so right. You have to start to cut off some of their main lines and you have to start to deal with those fucking issues. Like, you have to get at the source and that will solve it. And the reason why we know this is because we've seen it work in the past. Right? Like, those are the sort of conversations that we have to start having if we're going to actually fix this, and we're not seeing that at all.
Well, and I've come out as being, you know, very sympathetic to people fleeing El Salvador, Nicaragua, you know, parts of Mexico, because I know if I was in those situations, I'd be trying to get the fuck out of there.
Fair.
I would do everything. Oh, I understand. I was accused of being an open borders guy recently, and I was like, I've never said that. But I would say again, I'm putting myself in the mindset and the shoes of the people who are doing this. People who are walking across a desert to get the fuck out of a place that they called home aren't doing it because they want to go to Disneyland. Right. They're trying to save the lives of their families who are in war zones.
Right. And so my plea to Democrats, like, if you actually care about these people, right, and you're not just trying to go viral with your you know,
next campaign,
right, then why don't we try to stop the people from making that awful journey?
Feeling the need to.
Right? Because, like, I mean, even if we can't necessarily get them to a point where they don't.
It doesn't need to be zero, though, right?
Right. You don't have to get it to a zero. It's not a zero-sum game, right? Like but you do need to push. Like, you do have to have some sort of an impact that reduces the number of people that feel that their only option is to walk from fucking El Salvador to fucking Texas.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, just think about how insane that is. Like, my only solution is to go Forrest fucking Gump.
Neither you or I can put ourselves in that mindset.
Nope.
We just can't. And either can probably anyone who will listen to us, except for save possibly our listeners in Russia and Ghana, because we don't know what their situation is.
Be careful.
Why?
Just be careful.
Why? Because I brought up Ghana?
Because you're Russia.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Russia's fantastic. Nothing bad ever happens there.
Moscow, St. Petersburg is awesome.
Especially this time of year.
I just don't need to get assassinated by Vladimir
Putin.
We've
already
right now
clarified I'm getting whacked first. So true. I'm the canary in the coal mine for this one. If I end up dead and you don't eat the pasta matriciana that's left in my place, because that's probably what took me out. All right. You brought up something else.
I didn't have to die, but I did because I'm fucking fat and I like to eat.
And it's good. If you're going to go, that's not a bad way to go. You also sent me something, and I know this was kind of partially to, I won't say poke me with a stick because it was more for to entertain me, but Robert Foster, who is a candidate for governor in Mississippi, invoked the Billy Graham rule where he said that I will not go, in his defense, and in this case, a female reporter wanted to be embedded with him for like a 15-hour road trip. And he said, I will not do this unless there's a man with us. And his defense was that he didn't want there to be allegations, you know, against him. He didn't want to be alone with a woman for 15 hours that was a defense.
Okay. That was his explanation.
That was his campaign manager's explanation.
Yeah. And now, his. He came out on Twitter and put all this shit.
All right. So, when I make these jokes about Mike Pence, I genuinely believe what I'm saying, that Mike Pence doesn't want to be alone I don't think he wants to be alone with men, because I think Mike Pence likes men. But the whole Billy Graham rule about not being alone with a woman when there's alcohol served because you want to be faithful to your wife, yawn is my first response. You should be able to be, if you want to be a governor, if you want to be in a political office and you can't be alone with a woman without fear of being tempted, then you shouldn't be in a political office. Now, he's claiming he doesn't want the allegations to be out there. You're looking at me in a way that you've got something to say, so I'm going to say...
I think it's a crock of shit. Right. Now, the other thing is, I also think that he probably firmly believes this to a degree. I think that Pence believes it. I think that Robert Foster believes it. I think that Billy Graham believed it. I mean, I think that they believe that, whether it's being alone with a woman other than their wife brings too much temptation, especially if there's alcohol involved. I think that I'm not going to say you're wrong. I think that if you're not in the right place in your relationship, if you're not in the right place mentally, and you're drinking around an attractive woman or a woman who becomes attractive after a couple of drinks based off of however many drinks you have, then yeah, that could be a problem. So if you don't want to put yourself in that situation, okay, I get it. This is a little bit different because he's not saying that he's going to be tempted. He's saying that he doesn't want someone to make an allegation, which right. I guess my argument would be is like, listen, you can just have a press conference and just say these are the people that are going to be embedded with me while I'm in the campaign mode, and this is blah 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 blah. She's a journalist, so you'll be able to easily track what's going on. Make sure you don't go. You're not seen right. slinking into her hotel.
Right. If you're alone in a hotel room, that's one thing.
Right.
If you're in a fucking campaign bus.
Right. Now, I mean, because if someone catches you coming out of her hotel room in your underwear, then, all right, yeah,
rumors
you got
are
a problem.
Follow, yeah.
Right, but I mean, if she's...
The Tristan Thompson rule.
Right, but I mean, if she's just, like you said, on your bus while you're traveling around trying to be governor, then, I mean, we're all adults. I highly doubt, but it's Mississippi, so who knows? I mean, maybe they would, but I mean, I think you can easily deal with that by just saying, this person's going to be embedded with me. They work for this publication, and they're going to chronicle my rise to governor.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, embedded and rise to governor might not be the words I would use if I was doing that press release.
That's what I would use. No, that's also why I would get fired.
It's like, exactly.
I'm
You might be a good campaign manager. You'd be a shitty publicist. Yes,
I'd be a terrible publicist.
So but, maybe he didn't finger bang her in the back of the bus. Okay, I didn't mean to say that because he didn't. But he did anyway.
Whatever.
But finger banging isn't.
You say, I mean, you know, you like say finger bang bang. Bang. You know, like bang bang, finger bang bang. Yeah. Not finger bang.
And you're fired.
Right. All right. Well.
But no, I love that you brought that to my attention because I always pick on people when they do that rule. Like, I can't be alone with a woman. And like, all right, if you think you are that irresistible, right. Robert, I mean, Foster and, or Mike Pence, you're not.
Right. I mean, and it's something like I've talked to people, you know, in professional settings, you know, just at various events where I've talked to men who said, oh, no, I'd make sure I'm never alone in an office with a woman. Well, and blah,
alone
blah, blah,
in
blah.
An office is a different thing, though, right?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I think that listen, man, I honestly think the biggest issue for a lot of men is that there's just it's control.
Right.
Right. Like, you got to be able to just like, you got to control yourself. You have to like,
well, but
you have
but, to. But, yeah. But, okay. So appearance of impropriety is what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying
it's bullshit because okay, listen, if you can be alone in an office with a man, you can be alone in an office. Like, if you're, like, as long as you're not gay and super attracted to a certain man, right? Like, you can be alone in the office with a man, have a conversation, work-related. Sure. Maybe it deviates a little bit, but then, okay, fine. All right, with a woman, the only difference is, like, listen, don't talk about sex. Don't talk about right, how attractive but, a woman but, is. But, have the conversation, close right, the door, but, and then move on. But, be a professional.
But people do worry about allegations that cannot be... When it becomes a he said, she said, in public opinions, you'd find everything. I'm going back to something my dad told me. Years ago, my dad was a college professor, mm-hmm. and he told me that, you know, when a female student would come in and say, I want to dispute this, you know, thing on my test, or thing, he would say, you know, sure, come on down, I have an office. And when they would walk in and start to shut the door, he said, leave the door open. Okay. And it wasn't because he was doing anything wrong. He was like, I don't want anyone to be able to say, a student that's 20 years younger than me.
That's fine, but I mean, honestly, in my line of work, sometimes the door needs to be closed.
True,
right?
True.
Sometimes the door just needs to be closed, and conversations need to be had.
Sure.
Period.
And I'm not saying doing that is like an automatic indictment, but I understand why people want to protect themselves saying, I don't want anyone to look at this and say it looks bad.
And I guess part of that is my personality, right? I mean, ultimately, I don't want anyone in my office for more than 5 minutes, right?
Few people end conversations better than you.
Right? I mean, I hate being bothered. I got shit
to do. So Steve will talk to you. Oh, and you're gone.
Quick. Goodbye. And I'm pretty similar in person.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you kind of are.
I'm similar in person.
If you could teleport out of this room the second our episodes are over, you would do it. That's all you're true. Doing is waiting on the technology because it will drink more and have fun. But all right, we're just about at an hour. Okay. I've enjoyed this conversation. I think we've been, you know, having fun. But there was two weird things in the NFL today that I kind of want to bring up because one of them revolves around things we talk about all the time. So all the time we talk about videos coming out of interactions between people and, you know, civilians and the police. And a lot of times they come out long after legal matters have been settled. And that kind of happened this week with Malik McDowell, who was a second-round draft pick of the Seahawks out of Michigan State. And he was accused of drunken disorderly, and ultimately he had a bunch of charges thrown at him. And he's had a bunch of other off-the-field issues. He's got stuff to deal with. But the video came out of his interaction with his cop, and it ends with a convenience store in Michigan in February getting just trashed by a brawl.
Yeah. So what happens is McDowell gets pulled over because he apparently was speeding and then kind of
snowy conditions.
Right. Snowy conditions. I think in Michigan, speeding, and then he spins out, and then he pulls into a convenience store. Cop sees it. Goes up, you know, pulls up behind him, asks for his license and registration. McDowell loses his shit and just starts demanding to see a supervisor. I think he probably repeated it in the video.
I want a supervisor 30 times. Yep, probably.
You know, I want to see your supervisor. I want to see your supervisor. The cop basically says, listen, I just need to see your license and you know, insurance and registration, you know, whatever. So McDowell says, no, I want to see a supervisor. Cop says, I'm not...
He basically says, I am the supervisor.
Right. You know, the cop is just trying to... You know, I mean, I think the cop probably knew that he was drunk. whatever. Sure. So McDowell gets out of his car and then goes into the convenience store.
Yep.
Right? Just like, all right, well, screw you. And just tell me when your supervisor gets here. Cop's just like, listen, you need to, you know, get back in your car, get back in your vehicle, you know. And then McDowell just goes in, and then the cop just like, all right, well, now I'm going to arrest you. McDowell's a big guy. He's about 6'6", 300 pounds. He's a big boy.
Big man, yep.
And the cop was probably 5'10", 200 pounds and annoyed, right? Like, and questioning every decision he ever made at that point. He goes, he tries to arrest this guy. McDowell's just way too big, and it just, like, he tosses him around the convenience store.
He trashed that store.
Right, I mean, it just awful. I couldn't imagine being the clerk, like, I'm not cleaning it up. I'm not cleaning it up. I'm going home.
This is evidence.
You know what? I'm going to go out to this guy's car. I'm sure there's weed in it. I'm going to smoke it, and then I'm going to go home. But I mean, like they trashed this store, you know, the cop kind of gets him and then McDowell just kind of just pummels him into the ground and then he, like they separate and then, no. McDowell goes down and then the cop like tases him because
he threatens him like three times, like stop doing this or I'll tase you.
I'm going to tase you, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to tase you, bro. Nice.
He said, I'm going to tase you, bro. And so then he ends up tasing him. And then McDowell like does the fuck that.
You just gets tase up, me. Right, then the fight goes to the next level.
Then the fight goes to the next level, gets down. Another cop comes in. They end up getting him cuffed and whatever. And they think that, listen, McDowell was completely in the wrong from jump.
Yep.
Right? No, he ends up getting charged with resisting arrest, assaulting an officer. OVI,
drunk and disorderly,
driving on a suspended license, like the whole fucking thing, right? Like, from the get-go, McDowell is in the wrong. He was drunk. He made a dumb decision. And the cop, listen, the cop reacted, I think, probably best he could.
Now, reasonably.
In reality, what probably should have happened, he probably should have waited for backup. Right, when you see McDowell get out of the car and you look at that cop, like, you probably should have waited for backup. He's going in the store. You go in, you make sure he doesn't go out the front. You keep an eye on him, make sure he doesn't go out the back. Now, I'm not a cop. I don't know what the proper procedure is, but it seemed like his procedure, maybe he didn't take the best course of action.
But from a acting responsibly...
He didn't shoot him.
He didn't shoot him. And if he had, I'd be saying the same thing. I'd be like, yeah, you know... It depends, Steve. If he would have charged me, if I'm that cop and he charges me, I'm dealing with that as a life-threatening situation.
It's hard to argue that, man. And again, I'm not a cop. I've never been in the situation, so it's hard to say, right? Like, I've never been trained. Right. So I don't know. Having said that,
we've criticized police for fucking things up.
I'm not criticizing this cop.
I'm not criticizing him at all.
Like, I'm actually giving
him restraint that went beyond what mine probably would have been.
Listen, man, you just got your ass whooped.
But I would also say that this is the worst commercial for tasers ever. Because he tases him. So he's on the ground, he's threatening him. McDowell starts to get up, and he tases him. I was like, you motherfucker, you just tased me. Now we're going.
Listen, I won't get into details, but I'm just saying. My opinion, in that situation, use pepper spray.
Well, I'll say, I never got into the show Shameless, but there's an episode where Tim Tiny Lister, like, bets he could take two tasers in the chest and does so.
Way to kill it, Jim.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I mean, like, I thought that was bullshit TV stuff. I watched that actually happen. Malik McDowell got tased point blank. It was literally like, you fucker, you just did that shit, now I'm pissed.
Big guy, a little bit of a buzz.
And maybe, tasers, who knows?
Aren't the most effective.
Maybe not. And I mean, winter in Michigan, heavy clothes, I'm sure that played a factor.
Yes, all the above.
But tasers.
Next time use pepper spray.
Tasers, zero. Malik McDowell, zero also. But I do want
to. He also has charges.
Yeah,
from,
he's got a bunch of shit going
like
on.
Like a stolen, he bought a stolen like brand new Ford F-150 off some guy on the street for $5,000 that was stolen from a lot.
Geez.
Like, that's his story. I don't know.
You know, he's got issues, which brings us to NFL story number two, and people who have issues. Former Miami Dolphin, multiple other team, and former Buffalo Bill Richie Incognito. So both Malik McDowell and Richie Incognito were suspended for 2 games by the NFL. McDowell's actually not with the team. Richie Incognito is currently with the Oakland Raiders. And they got suspended for off-field shit. I don't know the exact details, but it must have been day in the league where... Stop.
No. None of that shit matters.
All right, anyway.
Can you just explain why Richie Incognito got suspended?
Yeah, I'm almost afraid to. Richie Incognito got suspended because he was arrested while he had a couple off-field issues. He was in a fight at a gym where he threw a dumbbell at someone.
That. Just get to the thing that matters.
Then he went to his dad's funeral and tried to force his way into the funeral home and cut his deceased father's head off.
Repeat that for me one more time.
No, I'm not your puppet. All right, fine. He attempted to enter a funeral home and cut his deceased father's head off.
Question?
I don't know the answers to why he wanted that. It was a Walt Disney thing where I'm going to bring my dad back in 30 years when they find the cure for being dead, or if he was... I don't know. I've got questions too. But Richie Incognito, dude's got some serious fucking issues.
He's got two games to figure it out. He's got two games.
Two games ain't solving that shit. Listen, two games is not solving what Richie's got to figure out.
I just need to know your headspace to be like, well, Dad's funeral is today. Let me grab this butcher knife and go get this dude's head. I need it.
Yeah. Again, I
like.
Not only don't I know the details, I don't know how to find them. But that is so fucked up.
Like, I guess the question is: were people like? Was it during the service? Was it like? Was he trying to sneak in beforehand? And what was he going to do with that?
But here's the thing.
What was he going to do with that?
I understand your reason for asking those questions, but do any of the answers make this okay? Is there a safe answer to that? Like, remember when Najee Davenport got arrested for taking a shit in a girl's laundry basket? And I will bring that up. So Najee Davenport, when he played for University of Miami, was arrested because he was taking a shit in a closet in a girl's laundry basket. And I heard a radio show say, I'd like to know why he did it. And his co-host went, who gives a... There's no acceptable answer to that.
I think there is an acceptable... That's a little bit different.
Like, it's a lot different, but... There's no acceptable answer to
if you're in a, if you're in a... Okay, so to Najee Davenport, this is off, but if...
But I can't bring that up enough times.
Let's say you were in a dorm that was not co-ed or that floor was a co-ed. You couldn't go into the bathroom. You really had to take a shit. There was no way you were going to make it to a place where you could take a shit without it being a big deal. So you take your drunk self, because that was part of the situation.
I'm sure it was.
And you shit in her closet in a basket because it's either there or right in the middle of the floor. She loses her shit because there's a giant man. And Najee Davenport was a big boy.
Closet.
Yes. Shitting in her closet. Right. I think we have a good excuse for that.
Not a good excuse. An explainable situation best I will give you.
Okay.
Not a good excuse.
I don't get any of that for Richie Incognito trying to cut his dead dad's head off in a funeral home.
Unless it's a Walt Disney thing and you think you can cry when he freezes.
Even then, I still don't... I mean, Walt Disney / Ted Williams. Like, why are we freezing heads?
Why are we freezing heads is a fair question.
I mean, we know enough about science to know that...
Freezing heads...
Doesn't work.
Does not work.
And I don't think that Richie Incognito knows enough about science to know that freezing heads is an option.
While that is an assumption, I think it's a fairly safe one. All right. Those are two of the weirdest stories to come out in the NFL when there's nothing going on in the NFL at all.
I'm done with weed. I've heard enough today to let me know that, you know what, I'm done with weed.
Okay. I don't think we have anything to do with this.
I just don't want to end up... I don't know. I know for a fact that Richie Incognito smokes a lot of weed.
How do you know that?
I got a guy.
Okay. I won't... I mean, I trust you.
Right. I got a guy.
I refuse to blame cannabis on desire to cut dead dad's head off at a funeral home. Sorry. That is not a side effect of cannabis I've ever heard of.
It's not fair to cannabis. It's not even fair to butcher knives.
It's not fair to butcher knives.
I'm assuming that's what he had, or an axe.
Fair to CTE. It's not, I mean, think about, Richie Incognito has had issues for a long fucking time.
That nigga crazy.
And
period.
And he's white as shit.
Right, but when you're that wild, like, you just, like, that nigga crazy.
Was said by the black guy. That's a great way to end this show, really.
He ain't right.
He ain't right. By the way, apparently when he got arrested...
He need more than Jesus.
When he got arrested in Florida for throwing the dumbbell at a dude...
Oh, yeah.
He apparently, when he was arrested, told the police that showed up that he was on an NSA mission. And I want to say this. If you're
lucky that bourbon didn't go through my nose.
That would have been the ultimate vengeance. That would have been the ultimate vengeance.
Had some issues.
After you recovered, which would have been minutes later. But yeah, I'm like, if you work for the NSA and you use the name Incognito, that's not the name they would give you.
Oh my God, I feel so bad. He's so crazy.
I do too.
I hope he gets help.
I do too, but I'm not betting on it. Ew. I don't think either of these stories end well, to be honest with you. In fact, none of the stories you talked about. We have not been uplifting today, but I've had fun, and the whiskey was pretty good.
I don't know, Jim. Just the sound of your voice is uplifting.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm touched. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media, Instagram, Twitter. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com, Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com. Email us. We enjoy the interaction. Thank you for listening. Russell's Reserve Kentucky Straight Rye Whiskey was pretty damn good stuff, and we are out of here.